gonna shine it, shine it. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue.
Welcome back. It's the Sweet 16 version of the Sea of Blue podcast. I am BC Thomas, joined by the managing editor of theseaofblue.com, Mr. Glenn Logan, and the editor, Mr. Ken Howlett. Ken, Glenn, how you guys doing?
Oh, doing great. Thanks, BC.
Doing great, BC. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you know what? No better place to start than we might as well talk for just a moment about the revenge from last season. Kentucky, the 4 over West Virginia, the 5. And I tell you right now, anyone that says John Calipari can't coach needs to watch that game, because he made the adjustments, did what needed to be done, turned an 8-point deficit into an 8-point win. And knocking off Bob Huggins' crew. Incredibly impressed with not just his coaching job, but DeAndre Liggins' defense, Josh Harrelson's toughness, and Brandon Knight's ability to score, score, and score.
Where would this team be without Josh Harrelson? That's the question I've been asking myself all weekend. The kid is just playing with all kinds of heart, attacking the glass. Kentucky, I thought in the second half, just really responded to the smack in the face that they took, quite frankly, from West Virginia in the first half. But I'm like you, hats off, kudos to DeAndre for really bringing it and shutting down Missoula, the cat killer, would be cat killer, and for the coaching staff for making the necessary adjustments. What'd you think, Glenn?
No, I agree. I mean, I really like, you know, the way they came out in the second half and just took it straight to West Virginia. You know, that's something that you know this team has done once or twice this year. They have come out and really responded to Coach Calipari's adjustments and, you know, criticisms and whatnot, whatever happens there in the locker room, which we generally don't really know. But I like their response, and it showed that they, I think, have I've seen a tremendous amount of maturity in this team as a group here in the last 5 or 6 games. And, you know, we've really played a bunch of very close basketball games over the last, say, 5 games. I mean, we haven't, except for the Florida game and the Alabama game, there hadn't been many runaways. I mean, they've been very close, tightly contested games that Kentucky had lost a bunch of times earlier, and now they're winning. And I think that's a very encouraging sign. And then this was almost the same kind of thing. I mean, they came out, they were down big, and they came back and got it into an even contest, and they forged a little bit ahead, and then it was nip and tuck there at the end, and then they just held on for the win. I think it was great.
Yeah, and just, again, the performance of Brandon Knight, to go from his 2-point performance against Princeton to dropping 30 against West Virginia. And you know, immediately you saw it. As soon as he hit that first three, I just said to myself, I said, wow, he's ready to play. He's on. And he was.
He was feeling it. He was feeling it. There's no doubt about that. And I wonder if that's a carryover effect from, you know, hitting the last second shot after going 0-for-7 against Princeton. It was almost like, I don't know that this happened, but it was almost like Knight said to himself, okay, I'm not going to allow us to get down like we did to West Virginia. I'm just going to take over for about the first 10 minutes of this ball game and just school everybody who tries to guard me. And that's kind of what happened, but it was really great to see. He very John Wall-like. If you ask me, that's what I thought of watching the game. Like, this kid is looking more and more like John Wall driving to the hole, like he did, like Wall did so many times last year. But anyway, you know, guard play, you know, what's BC? Everybody's talking about guard play is important in the tournament. We found that out Saturday.
Getting hot is not really something you can control. It's not like you can will yourself to get hot. I mean, that's a myth. You go out and shoot the ball good. Basically, the thing I think Brandon was determined to do was to be as aggressive as he could be without, you know, going overboard and hurting the team. And he got out and made that first shot, and he said, okay, it's looking good. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm going to take open shots when I get them. And he did, and he made them. And that's what you do as a shooter. You know, when you're cold and you can't hit, I mean, I go out sometimes, I can't hit the backboard. You know, you don't know why. You feel good, the release feels good, and the thing clangs and goes every which way. Bottom line is this. You just got to be a, you know, you have to know when to turn it, you know, when to shoot, when not to shoot, and not to let the whole, don't let it get in your head. Shoot the ball when you feel it. And well, I think that's what Brandon did.
And he was certainly feeling it, and he's going to have to keep feeling it as they head into their second round or the Sweet 16 matchup, and that's in Newark Friday, 8:45 Central. That's 8:45 my time, I guess 9:45 in the East. And what a matchup this is going to be. And you know, if you really look at this game, it is almost two teams that are dang near identical. In the fact that what you have is you have teams with a scoring power forward, even though Terrence Jones hasn't been scoring as much as of late. His resume, his CV, his MO is that of one who's a scoring power forward. And you put guys around him that can shoot the three, and that's Lamb, and that's Knight, and that's Miller, and the hell, that's Liggins when he's open. I mean, it is guys that can knock it down, and that's exactly what you have. In Ohio State with Diebler and Leidy and Kraft all around Sullinger. This is an intriguing matchup for me for multiple reasons. One, I mean, Ohio State has just been an absolute buzzsaw. 29 over UT San Antonio, 32 over George Mason. They come in like a buzzsaw, Glenn. Though I think right now you'd be crazy to not take Kentucky as one of the best six or seven teams. One of the best five teams maybe left in this tournament, one of the best six or seven teams as far as how well they're playing right now in the country. You know, this matchup, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's got Beatdown City written all over it. I'm not so sure of that, Glenn.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know who would be thinking this is going to be a beatdown. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Yeah, if it happens, I'd be a surprise. Let's just put it that way. Ohio State and Kentucky match up very well. Actually, Kentucky has about as many advantages in matchups as they do disadvantages. The big disadvantage being, obviously, the Jared Sullinger and whoever guards him. It's probably going to be Josh Harrelson. I don't think Terrence Jones is quite – I mean, I don't know. It might not be, because it's not as though Sullinger's a giant leaper or anything like that. He gets everything by positioning himself, by using that big body of his and moving people around. So I'm not really sure how Calipari's going to play that, but I think he'd worry about picking up too many fouls on Terrence Jones. So I expect he'll go try. He may try both of them. I mean, he probably will. But yeah, no, I don't think anybody who really understands college basketball think this is going to be anything like a beatdown. Ohio State doesn't shoot the ball that much better than Kentucky. I think they're maybe 3 or 4 percentage points of difference in effective field goal percent overall, and they don't rebound the ball any better. And they don't turn. They unlike most teams, they hang on to the ball as well as Kentucky does, which is an interesting thing. And they don't. And there's really no significant difference between free throw rate percent. So the four factors are pretty even in this game, with a slight advantage to Ohio State on the when it comes to shooting percentage. But I think that most people aren't quite really aware of just how good this Kentucky team defends. And their defense has been better, I think, against fairly equal competition, although some people may disagree with that, in conference than Ohio State's has. And Kentucky's played a tougher schedule overall. I like this matchup for UK.
Yeah, I think the Cats, just looking at it kind of at first blush, you look at, I think what people are looking at is Ohio State's gaudy record. They kind of ran away with the Big Ten. They have the big freshman like Kentucky did last year with Sullinger, and the fact that they've won by 60-plus points their two games, kind of reminiscent of 95, 96, 97 Kentucky teams where they're just steamrolling player teams. But, you know, I think Glenn makes outstanding points all. The only thing that concerns me, well, I've got several things that concern me, but one of the main things that concerns me about this matchup is that previously, for most of the year, Kentucky has enjoyed a size advantage on the perimeter, not necessarily in the paint, but definitely on the perimeter, and Kentucky's guards have really been able to take it to defensively the opponents. But there's really, you have Diebler at 6'6", Buford at 6'5", Leidy, who kind of plays a swing at 6'5", and then Kraft is 6'2". So you have good size on the perimeter for Ohio State. And so Kentucky will not be able, I don't think, to they just don't have that size advantage that they're accustomed to on the perimeter. We'll see how they respond to that. But I think as far as shooting, defense, rebounding, this type of thing, just looking at it with broad strokes, I think Kentucky matches up quite well with Ohio State. I don't know that Kentucky – I would pick Kentucky to win this game, but I think it's going to be – I will be surprised if it's more than a 5 or a 6-point game either way.
Well, you know what? One thing, I was looking at this and thinking about this game, and you know, Ohio State, the way they play is the body blows. They throw body punches with Jared Sullinger until you soften up, and then it's kick out, and when they start making threes, you're in trouble. I almost feel like Kentucky should play Sullinger one-on-one and maybe not rotate as much on defense, not help as much on defense, and really stay in the shooter's jerseys out on the perimeter, because that's where Ohio State puts the death nail in. It's not down low with Sullinger. It's with the shooters.
Just like they did with Vanderbilt.
Exactly. Just like they did with Vanderbilt. I almost think you give Sullinger the Festus Ezeli treatment, Glenn. You say, okay, you know what? Play one-on-one down low. Get your points. We're not going to let Diebler get off. We're not going to let Lighty get off. We're not going to let Buford get off. We're going to stay in their grill.
I think that's right. I mean, I think the biggest the main thing is you got to worry about Sullinger and in the post there. But it's, you know, Josh Harrelson plays very respectable post defense. You know, Sullinger will have to work for every one of his points, and you know, you're gonna switch off people on Sullinger, trying to, you know, minimize foul trouble and minimize things. But I think you guys are right, and I think that's what Calipari will do. I think if he has to pick a poison in this game, he's going to say, hey, let's see if you can beat us with layups. Let's see if you can beat our big man, you know, down there, who's been playing great and who has all the confidence in the world. Let's see you go down there and put up 60 points on him. You know, if you can get that job done, you know, okay, you know, you deserve the game. But you're not going to sit out there and snipe us from three. And I think you're going to see Diebler face DeAndre Liggins, who has every conceivable advantage on the kid. He's just as tall, he's longer, he's quicker, he's stronger, he's a lot more aggressive. And I think you're going to see Diebler, you know, they're not going to run Diebler off a bunch of screens like, you know, maybe a Chris Lofton or, you know, John, what's the guy's name, Vanderbilt, John?
Jenkins.
Jenkins, thank you. You know, you're not going to see a bunch of that going on. That's just not the way Ohio State plays. They play inside-out basketball. They don't play a lot of screen roll. So you're going to see a lot of high, you know, screens for shooters. So, you know, I think that Ken nailed it when, or who it was, BC, whoever was talking about staying in their jersey. I think it was Ken. I think that's just what you're going to see.
That's BC.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and a brilliant point I made. I'm glad you drove that home.
It was a brilliant point.
It was a brilliant, brilliant point. Well, you know what? As much as I think Kentucky has a chance, it's time to put the pen to paper here. I'm going to say it's a really, really close game. I'm going to give the slight nod to Ohio State veteran leadership. Yeah, they play the freshmen, but, you know, Kraft and Thomas come off the bench. So I'm going to give Ohio State the slight nod and give them the favor, though it would not surprise me to see Kentucky beat them.
I would have to agree. If you're putting a gun to my head and saying picking a winner, I'm going to pick Ohio State, with the one caveat that I think that it's going to be like most of these Sweet 16 games. It's going to be a really tight game. It's going to come down to execution in the final 5 minutes. So, you know, as long as Kentucky is in a position to win, I think that's all that Kentucky fans can ask for going into this contest.
I'm going to be the contrarian and take Kentucky.
Hey, I'm hoping you're right, Glenn.
I'll second that.
All right. Also, in the Newark bracket, 7:15 Central. 7:15 Eastern. It's 6:15 Central. That's the one of the newest stars of the tournament, and that's a Buzz up there in Marquette taking on Ole Roy's UNC Tar Heels. And, 66-62 win over Syracuse for the Eagles, a 66-55 win over Xavier, two really good wins. However, for the Golden Eagles, I think their run ends here. Henson, Zeller, too much, I think. Harrison Barnes, too much. I know they play the pressure defense, but you know, Roy kind of wants you to pressure him because he wants to get out and run. And I almost think that pressure defense may fall right into Roy's hands. I'm going to take North Carolina. Glenn, what do you got?
I got the second same thing. I mean, you know, Washington tried to pressure North Carolina. And, they did a great job. Washington, though, is a much better team than Marquette. This one goes North Carolina's way.
Yeah, I think Carolina, they've got it going on right now with Kendall Marshall at point, and they're just going to secondary break Marquette to death, I think, which is kind of Roy's calling card. So I look for Carolina to win this game.
Yeah, and that said, you know, there is something to look at in this game. If Friday, you know, North Carolina does knock off Marquette, think there's probably a pretty good chance that Buzz is named head coach of the University of Tennessee a couple days later, because his name is all over the coaching radar now with wins over Xavier and Syracuse.
Does he have Tennessee connections?
I don't know that he has Tennessee connections, but I think it's a much better job where they'll pay you a much better salary. Marquette's kind of got a name, but doesn't have the real money behind it that the Tennessee Athletic Department does.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be. I think there's a lot of better candidates than Buzz out there, but, you know, they may try to go with a name, and I couldn't really blame if they did, given the situation. So, yeah.
All right. Let's
you might be right.
Let's head out west. Duke and Arizona. That's a 9:45 Eastern, 8:45 Central game out in Anaheim. Arizona picked up a win, I'm not going to say over Texas, over Rick Barnes. A lot of questionable coaching in the last 5 minutes of that game, I think, cost his team the win. But Arizona, I think their Sweet 16, it ends here. Duke is playing well. They had a tough game over Michigan, a blowout over Hampton. But Kyrie Irving's back, getting into his game a little bit more. I will argue with anybody in the country that Nolan Smith is just as good a playmaker and ball player as Kemba Walker. And with Kyrie Irving, and then also Mason Plumlee's kind of started playing a little better. And he's a guy that, he's a top 15 pick if he leaves. Too much talent for Duke, and they've got the ace in the hole with Coach Krzyzewski. I think Duke moves on.
Kudos to Sean Miller out at Arizona. After all that he's been through, the program he took over was just kind of not in shambles, but troubled.
Pretty close to shambles. That was a tough job.
That was a tough, and he's really, really just taking the bull by the horns. He's getting good players in there. Derek Williams is playing well. So with that said, I think Duke, Duke is really impressing me the last month of the season for the exact reasons. On a podcast for Wildcat Blue Nation last night, I said the exact same thing that BC was just talking about with Duke, with Singler. Plumlee's playing better. Nolan Smith is just outstanding at the point guard spot. There's just no doubt about it. I just like Duke in this game, even though they struggled the last 10 minutes with Michigan. I like Duke advancing on to the Elite Eight.
I'm kind of on the fence on this game. I'm inclined to go with Arizona. Arizona doesn't look like a particularly good team. They look like a one-man team is what they look like. It looked like Derek Williams and a bunch of, what they used to call back in Michael Jordan's day, the Jordanaries. Well, it's kind of the same way with the Williamsaries. They're all kind of ordinary players. None of them are really super outstanding. But Solomon Hill's really coming on lately, and I loved his game against Texas. He really played hard. He was great defensively. He gave and Momo Jones, I believe his name is Jones, he's not a bad point guard. He really has been getting better, and his shot was a little bit off against the Longhorns, but still he managed to do a good job. I tell you what, I think these guys are capable of an upset. They're more athletic than Duke, and even though I grant you Nolan Smith is a terrific player, there's no question that he's every bit as good in my mind as Kyrie Irving. Kemba Walker is. Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I think honestly, this Arizona team is just now hitting their stride, and I think Duke is in for quite a rough ride. So if I had to pick somebody, I'd probably pick Duke, but only barely.
I thought you were going with Zona there for Glenn.
Yeah, we thought you.
Yeah, what's up with that? Would you hedge? Did you hedge, Glenn?
I told you I was kind of on the fence about that game. I if you want to hold me to one, I'll take Arizona and be happy.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time, man. I'm just messing with you.
I love Arizona in this game, though. I think they've got a good chance to win.
Staying out west in Anaheim, Connecticut, San Diego State, number 3 seed UConn, with maybe the hottest player in the nation. They may be the hottest team in the nation after winning 5 games in 5 nights and knocking off Cincinnati and Bucknell all in a row. And it really, they ran through Bucknell and it beat Cincinnati handily enough by 11. This game, San Diego State is so tough. And Leonard is so good. It's just who can stop Kemba Walker? And I don't know if they have that glue guy, that defensive guy to put on him and really lock him down. I love San Diego State. I love the way they play, but I think their run may end here, and the magical Kemba journey continues.
I haven't been sold on the Aztecs for most of the year, but I have to give credit where credit is due. You know, they're playing well right now. They absolutely destroyed Brigham Young with minus Brandon Davies in the WAC tournament. But I think UConn, I think Kimball Walker has got it going on right now. And I'm looking for them in the Final Four, to be honest with you. So I obviously am picking them, the Huskies, over San Diego State in this game.
Yeah. I'm going to be the contrarian again. I think Walker's, you know, Walker's one of these players who he plays really well for stretches, and he's due for a bad game. I think it's coming up. San Diego State is a terrific defensive squad. They are they bring their lunch pails to every single game they play, and they absolutely will not give up. And I think that and their maturity is going to show up a little bit against UConn. Although UConn, I tell you, Jeremy Lamb is playing so well right now. I do think that it's going to be a very close game, and it could go either way. But I'm going to be a contrarian and pick San Diego State.
I like your style, Glenn. Like your style. We'll head over to Narlands, and that is Thursday, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Eastern. Butler, Wisconsin. Butler coming off that win where, you know, we did 45 minutes on the radio today, which will be Monday. We did 45 minutes on the radio about the game and that calls, but you know, you can't go back and rewrite it. Butler is going on to take on Wisconsin, and you know, two teams that their styles don't mirror each other, but what they do as far as discipline, playing with their head screwed on straight and waiting to get the right shot at the right time and just doing it, they kind of remind me of each other, but just as disciplined and as smart as the two teams are. This is a great, great, great matchup. And I love what Wisconsin can do when they're hitting shots. When they're not hitting shots, they can't win because they play too slow to win when they're not hitting shots. But when they are hitting shots, I mean, they're arguably a Final Four contender when they are hitting shots because of the way they control the ball, they don't turn it over, and they play defense. This game has got me scratching my head. Ken, I'm gonna go with Wisconsin because I watched them beat Ohio State, but, I mean, I think this game might go either way.
I agree. This is a toying. Jesus.
Coin
toss. In my mind, you know, and I really don't know who to go with. I really don't. But, you know, I'm going to go with Butler. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs. I'm going to go with the 8 over the 4 because of Shelvin Mack. I think that you know, he's really turning it on and taking over control of this basketball team. And since he's done that, they have played awfully well. I'm not even really sure that they've lost since Mack has kind of kicked it into gear. Nothing against Wisconsin, though. Wisconsin is a terrific defensive team. But, you know, at some point in the tournament, I think I said this last week, you know, you have to score points. You have to score. There's going to be at least one game. We're going to score 70, 75, 78 points in order to win. And I'm not sure that Wisconsin is really not that they're not capable, but I just think against Butler, that's just not going to happen. And I think Butler's going to put some points up on them. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs in this game.
Well, I get to be the tiebreaker, huh? Well, that's cool. Hey, I love what you know, Bo Ryan does with Wisconsin. Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of the style of play that he uses, but what I do like about it is the intelligence and the high degree of execution that they have on offense. And that's going to be the real key to this game, is which team executes the best. I think Wisconsin is a little bit bigger and a little bit longer than Butler, and I think that's going to show up in this game. I also like the way Lewis is playing right now. He's tough. He got in there. He got his head banged and had stitches in his head the other day, and he went in there and played a terrific game. And I love the toughness and maturity this team shows, and it's a reflection of their coach, and he really knows how to coach this style of basketball. There's no way that Butler's going to score 80 points on Wisconsin because they just are not going to be able to get the tempo high enough. Wisconsin does not allow it, and it doesn't matter what you do. They're not going to allow it. So it's going to be a fairly low possession game. It's going to be very close. It's going to come down to probably the last shot or two, last possession or two. And I'm going to go with the Badgers.
All right. I'm glad you took my side, Ken. 7:30 that game Thursday. The 7:30 game Thursday, BYU, Florida. You know what everybody said with Brandon Davies out, they'd win in the first round, but then, you know, it wouldn't be a good day for BYU after that. St. John's or Gonzaga would blow them out. Gonzaga does beat down St. John's, but then BYU absolutely put it on Gonzaga, 89-67, an absolute beatdown. I don't know that, though, that's going to happen against Florida. The real thing you have to worry about with Florida is who in the world can defend Chandler Parsons, because he can at 6'9", 6'10", he can put the ball on the bounce, and he's their playmaker at 6'10". And not a lot of teams have an answer for that, and I don't think BYU does. Jimmer gets his. He gets his 28, 30, whatever. But I don't know that that's enough to put put BYU over top. I'm going to take Florida on to the Elite Eight.
I think Brigham Young is going to have a tough time dealing with not only Parsons, but the two little Florida guards, Walker and who's the other one?
Irving.
Irving Walker and Kenny Boynton.
Duh. Anyway, I think Brigham Young is going to have a tough time with those guys, with that triumvirate, Parsons, Walker, and Boynton. You know, the advantage that BYU has, if they have one, is possibly their size down low. But Vernon Macklin is not exactly, you know, a little guy, and they bring Patrick Young, is playing more and more minutes. He's averaging about 20, 22 minutes a game. The freshman is the last 10 or 12 ball games. And so, you know, I look for Florida. I think Florida is really playing well right now. I like Billy Donovan's experience in these types of games over Dave Rose at BYU. You know, but to me, though, the biggest surprise, one of the biggest surprises other than VCU this year is the absolute trashing BYU did, and what they did to Gonzaga. It was just really unbelievable. I thought Gonzaga was surely going to win that game. So don't make any adjustments to your brackets because of what I'm saying. That's for sure. But I think Florida is gonna come out of this a winner and advance to the Elite Eight.
You know, I've accused Florida of being soft a lot this year, and they were. But since Patrick Young has been playing a lot more minutes, he's really hardened up that offensive front, and he really comes in and there's a physical presence down low that BYU simply cannot match. Now, he's not going to score a bunch of points, but he is going to get rebounds. He's going to challenge shots, and he's just going to be a major disruptive force, kind of on the order of a big DeAndre Liggins for them. And that is, I think, one of the big reasons why Florida is going to beat them and beat Brigham Young. I think, just like Ken said, I don't know what they're going to do about those two little guards running around like that. If those guys can make a few baskets, it's going to be awful tough. And they still got to figure out some way to, you know, hold down Fredette a bit. But honestly, I think Florida has enough firepower to beat Brigham Young in this game. So I'm going to agree with the rest of you guys.
In the Southwest, San Antonio, Friday night, Kansas takes on Richmond. Great story for Richmond. Love the way they play. Love the fact that they are the Spiders. They knocked off Moorhead in the second round after knocking off Vanderbilt in the first round. However, I think Morris Twins equals doom for Richmond. This is the end of the line for them. A great run to the Sweet 16, but Kansas way too strong for Richmond.
Congratulations to, is his first name Dan Mooney, yeah. Richmond's coach?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to him on a terrific run. Richmond, a team with, you know, some nice NCAA tournament history. But Kansas, you know, I just really think Bill Self has this team really playing well. The brothers, the twins, are just really playing outstanding, along with Selby and that whole crew. You know, I just don't see how, you know, Richmond can pull this off. So I'm going to take the Jayhawks to advance on.
Yeah, this one seems pretty easy to me. You know, the Jayhawks are the second best team in the tournament next to the Buckeyes. So I think that you're going to see domination inside. I think VCU is going to make a really good – I'm sorry, not VCU. Richmond is going to make a really good effort at them. I love their energy. I love their speed and how they play. But I just think Kansas is just a little bit too skilled for them, a little bit too big for them, and I think it's going to go their way.
Last game in that bracket, it's the 10 o'clock game on Friday. And it is VCU and Florida State. And, you know, Coach Shaka Smart, what a story. You know, they weren't supposed to be in the tournament. All of a sudden, they win, they get in, they beat Georgetown, blow Georgetown out, they beat the brakes off Purdue, and now they go up against FSU. And I love Shaka Smart, but I think this is where their run ends, because that Florida State defense is so good, and it is so tough, and they hold you to such a low shooting percentage that if they even score just a little, they're almost – I mean, they're – so hard to beat. A great run for Shaka Smart, and I feel bad for going for picking against all the mid majors and all the underdogs. But I mean, that VCU, you know, in playing Georgetown and even Purdue, hasn't seen a defense like this Florida State team plays defense. Call Ben Hansbrough and ask him how Florida State plays defense. He'll let him know. I don't know if VCU can get enough points to beat Florida State.
Well, I'm going to go in the opposite direction, BC. That's why we do these things, isn't it? You know, I just think I'm drinking the smart Kool-Aid, baby. You know, what this guy has done is incredible. I think I'm the one that said last week that me and four guys from down the street could beat VCU. Maybe that was UAB. Maybe that was UAB I was talking about. But, you know, I'm drinking. I'm taking it. I'm going to take the Rams over Florida State. I as much as I hate it, because I love Leonard Hamilton because of what he did at Kentucky back in the 70s, recruiting-wise, in the 70s and 80s. He helped build some fantastic basketball teams, and so I always root for him. But I just think VCU, they seem to have some type of focus, otherworldly focus going on right now to just absolutely spank and destroy, you know, Georgetown and Purdue. I don't think it's going to stop. I think they move on to the Elite Eight.
I'm going to agree with Ken on this. I think Virginia Commonwealth is just an extraordinary story. And if you want my sort of creative idea for a Tennessee coach,
don't say it.
I would say
Shaka
Smart is the guy.
Don't say it.
Because let's be honest, Shaka Smart is not just – what he's doing down there is remarkable, and he also has a certain panache about him. He has that havoc defense, what he calls it, the havoc defense. And that's just so perfect. I mean, he could almost step into Pearl's shoes and you would almost not even know anything had changed except for the possible, you know, scholarship reductions, which you'll have to deal with. But I can tell you, those recruits that Pearl has lined up that are now waffling on their commitments would probably rethink it if Shaka Smart were hired. So if I were Tennessee, I would take a long look at this guy. But leaving that aside, back to the actual game in itself, you know, there is no question that the Florida State's a great defensive team. I have seen them several times this year, and I have seen them struggle, and I have seen them win. And I don't know which team's going to show up, but I can guarantee you that they're going to be bothered by the way this VCU team puts pressure on everything. And, you know, they're not a particularly good ball-handling team, so I think that's going to be a problem for the Seminoles. And maybe VCU struggles a little bit to score, but I think they're going to force 25 turnovers out of the Seminoles. And when they do that, I think the Seminoles are going to be demoralized, and I think they're going to lose. So I'm going to go with VCU.
All right. Well, real quick, let's get to a Final Four before we get out of here. Glenn, you picked Kentucky over Ohio State, so I'm going to let you have the East. Kentucky, North Carolina. North Carolina beats Kentucky in Chapel Hill this year. Do your Wildcats get revenge over Roy?
I think so, although I'll tell you that it's a different – they're both teams are so different from the teams that played at that in that game in Chapel Hill. I just don't – when you think about it, they're so different that you almost have to start all over again. Kendall Marshall is a much different point guard than Larry Drew II was. And, you know, you've got all these guys, Harrison Barnes and all of them playing real well right now. John Henson is really playing well. He's just – he's a disruptive force of that length. So, you know, Kentucky will have their hands full against the Tar Heels. But, you know, I'm a homer, so I'm going to make the homer pick and say Kentucky does get revenge.
I like it. I like it. All right, Ken, let's. You picked Butler and Florida to go to the Elite Eight in the Southeast region. Who do you have, Gators or Bulldogs, headed to the Final Four?
You know, I'm going to go with Billy Donovan's Florida Gators in that game. I think that for the same reasons that I think that they'll beat Brigham Young, the guard play plus Chandler Parsons plus the improved kind of low post presence with the evolution of Patrick Young and Vernon Macklin down on the blocks. I just think it'll be too much for Butler. As much as I hate to say it, I think the Gators are going to the Final Four.
I'm going to take the West in Anaheim. I've got Duke against UConn, and I think it's a great blow-by-blow. I think it's Ollie Frazier with Nolan Smith and Kemba Walker. I think Kemba Walker scores more points, but Nolan Smith scores more when it matters, and he hits a shot to win the game, hits the shots to win the game. And I'll take Duke over Connecticut in the Final Four in the West. And, Glenn, you're the boss. So, therefore, you get the extra region. You get the Southwest. You had Kansas and VCU. Can Shaka knock off Bill Self?
You know, that's probably where the run will die. And with all due respect to Shaka, I think the problem with Kansas is they have some good ball handlers. They have great size, much better size than VCU has. And they're thick and they're strong and they can shoot the basketball. So there's really not – I can't think of a good reason to pick Shaka Smart over and his VCU crew over the Jayhawks in this one, so I won't. But I loved your description of the UConn Duke, man. That's going to be a heavyweight struggle. I really do like that one.
Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Young folks roll on the floor.
And that's going to wrap up the Sweet 16, a SeeAblue.com podcast. Big, big thanks to the managing editor, Glenn Logan, for stopping by. The editor, Ken Howlett. After Sunday, we'll have a Final Four, and we'll be back next week with a Final Four podcast right here on SeeAblue.com.
He had a little woman who he whooped each day, but now she's gone away. Got drunk last night, kicked mama down the stairs, but I'm all right, so I don't care. Oh,